We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
9:08 now. It's been a whirlwind morning, but we're never too busy to talk about love and relationships. And Elizabeth Overstreet joins us now with ElizabethOverstreet.com, as she does occasionally, to talk about relationships, keeping yours healthy, finding a new one if that's what you're looking for. Good morning, Elizabeth. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Good morning.
I'm okay. Tell me how you've been. Tell me about ElizabethOverstreet.com.
Oh, so ElizabethOverstreet.com is where people can come to learn about healthy relationships and get realistic, practical strategies on how to navigate conflict, communication, and all the other fun things that come with having, you know, a relationship with someone.
So for people that are saying to themselves, well, who does Elizabeth Overstreet think she is? Tell us how you got into doing this, because I think it's an interesting story. And I say that with love. You know that.
Oh, totally. So look, I jokingly said to you last time, I think, or the last interview we talked, that sometimes your mess becomes your ministry. And I think Robin Roberts is someone who coined that phrase. And the thing is, I was not good at relationships. I made a lot of mistakes. I'm still learning, even though I'm a relationship coach and a relationship expert. When I take my head off, I'm just like other people. But I think just through my learnings of being married, remarried, having a blended family, and coming from a family that has a lot of multi-decade marriages ranging from 40 to 60 years, I've accumulated a lot of knowledge of what works and what doesn't work. And I just don't want people to have to waste time figuring it out if there's strategies you can really do early on to help your relationship. And then I also get to work with couples and individuals, many who I successfully have helped save their marriages or get to marriage or get to a divorce if needed. So I'm really passionate about this work.
Well, I love talking to you because I think you have a lot to offer. Elizabeth, you're not in Baltimore, are you?
No, I'm not.
In Chicago, I thought, right? Or no?
Well, I'm a Chicago native, but I'm in North Carolina,
okay.
Actually.
I was just going to ask you about the bridge collapse if you happen to be there, but it's no big deal.
And
prayers to everybody there. It's awful. Let's talk. I want to bring the audience in, too, if I may, at 504-260-1870, the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line, if you want to call in if you have a relationship question, or if you wanted to text in, I'll pass it along to Elizabeth. Let's start with some of the common problems that people have when they're first starting out a relationship. And I'll start with me. I met somebody over the weekend, and I'm bad because of what I do for a living. I tend to interview somebody when I first meet them, and sometimes it can appear intrusive. I don't think it did in this case, but well, how do you draw the line between getting to know somebody and giving them the third degree or whatever they called it in the old movies?
Look, this is the thing, just like any relationship, you know, and I always take people to basic things like our friendships. When we're first getting to know our friends, we don't always delve into everything right away. It comes over time. I know when you're getting into a romantic relationship, people get a little more anxious because they're like, am I wasting time? I want to make sure this person is the person I think I want, you know, would like them to be, or that they're complimentary to me. So I think it's important to show up as yourself, be authentic, be curious. But I think there is a line in the sand of doing too much too quickly, because people will reveal themselves. Mm-hmm. They can't help but do it. So sometimes I know there's a rush to figure it out, but that's the beauty of love too. Love evolves over time. It grows, right? So allow yourself that time to get to know the person, be curious and be observant, but don't third degree them right off the start, because that could be a turnoff.
But I know people, for the most part, love to talk about themselves. And I personally think that everybody has a story, and I love to hear their story because, you know, I ask this and that leads to that, which leads to that. And I'm not trying to pry, but just about, you know, how'd you get into this business? What is it about that you like it and blah, 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 blah. Just like I'm kind of asking you right now, you know what I mean? But I guess you got to just slow down a little bit, slow your roll, huh?
Well, Tommy, you probably have an advantage because you do this on a day-to-day basis mm-hmm. with people like me and other guests that come on your show. So I think that's okay. That's a part of who you are. Mm-hmm. And someone that is dating you and they know that you do this work is going to probably pick up that that's just you being you. So I think it's okay to do it similar to how you're asking me, like, hey, Elizabeth, like, what makes you think you could be a relationship expert? Like, that didn't feel offensive to me because you're like, I'm saying it with love. It's all in the tonality and in the approach, right? So I think asking someone about how they feel about relationships could go something like this. Like, how do you envision being in a relationship? What does that mean to you? I'm really curious because I have some ideas, but I'm curious to see how you think about it. That's a way to really get an idea of how someone sees relationships, how they approach it, what their vision is for it. And that could give you some clues if you're on the same track or not.
And a text comes in about revealing yourself because you don't, you know, let me take it to the nth extreme here. If you're a serial killer, well, then, you know, that's something somebody's going to want to know in a relationship, but probably something that's a terrible example. Let me change this.
It's extreme, but I get what you're saying. Look,
but
you know what?
Because eventually it's going to come out, right? I mean, if you're going to have a serious relationship with somebody, by the same token, you don't air all your dirty laundry at one time, do you?
No. Well, this is the thing. I think you should be honest. I think you have to ask the hard questions. So when me and my husband were dating, you know, some of the more challenging, touchy topics that we talked about early in our dating phase was like finances, how we view finances, because I knew for me coming through a divorce, stability was important to me, right? And I wanted to make sure the person I was marrying had a similar mindset around it. So I did ask, you know, directly, and he asked me questions about how we see our finances, how we budget, how we plan. So look, I'm not saying people shouldn't ask questions or be curious or use common sense, because as we listen to stories on Lifetime, and I know Lifetime does the extreme version of these things, or we hear about the Tinder person dater that, you know, did some things that were egregious, you should do your due diligence. Like, if something doesn't feel right, that's called your intuition. You need to dig into that. If you need to, sometimes it's okay to look up someone online to see, you know, if there's a criminal history or things like that. I think those are things that are important to know, because we do have to approach it carefully, because there are people also exploiting the dating process, right, to find victims. There's predators out there.
That's true. So in my case, before I hit this woman up for a loan for money, I should wait second, third meeting? What do you think?
Well, I think that's a touchy topic. So I if you were coming to me and I was dating you and we were early in the dating situation, you were asking for money, that might raise a red flag, right?
Yeah, I would
think
so.
Early in the process. Yeah.
As it would for me.
Right. As people, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You finish.
No, I was going to say, yeah. So things like that, like, I think sometimes we get in situations and we want it to come out a certain way, but we do have to accept people for who they are, right? And so if someone early on is giving you some red flags of like, hey, I need money, and it's early on in the process, and then they're repeatedly doing it, because of course things could come up, right? That is something you need to pay attention to. You shouldn't just ignore it. Because I think that's where the emotions can blind people to the reality of, like, who the person is.
Yeah, I do see on dating apps sometimes people having their profile, I'm looking for this, looking for that, I'm not here to loan you money, which makes me think that that does actually happen, that I guess.
Oh, I think it totally happens, yes. There are people that are dating on both sides of the fence, men and women, sometimes to get a free meal, sometimes to see if they could leverage that situation financially, sometimes to emotionally manipulate. All of that exists. That's
really
the risk
to get a free
love.
To get a free meal, really?
Yes. Some people, I mean, and women and men both are guilty of this, which is why there was a whole controversy around, I'm going to take you to Applebee's. I don't know if you saw that, where people were like,
I'm not
going to spend. So there was a whole thing around TikTok where guys had, you know, women had a list of restaurants they don't want men to take them to. But I think some of that has come out of maybe men investing heavily, but then they find out they're being used. So there's like trust issues out here, and these are things that are really occurring. So yes, you do need to low-key not test people, but kind of not give it all away in the beginning, meaning like if you're going on a date, you could do a date that doesn't cost a lot. You could do coffee. You could do a walk in the park. You could do the non-traditional thing just to get a sense of who the person is and see what their agenda is. Because again, people can't hide who they are. They can for a period of time, but it comes out. And if you pay attention and if you ask anyone that's been in a situation where they notice something about someone later on, they can usually recall the first points when things were off, but they ignore them. So that's the key to, yeah, to pay attention.
Speaking of paying attention, what about paying for the meal, the coffee, whatever? I did also have coffee with somebody, I don't know if it was a date or not, a couple of weeks ago. And when I got there, she had already purchased her coffee, which took that away, and there was no issue with that at all. So if you go first, do you get your coffee, and then the other person? How do you take me through all of that?
Yeah, I think it depends on the person. Maybe she didn't want you to feel obligated, because maybe she, too, is testing things out, right, in that situation. And she doesn't want to feel, because sometimes for some people in dating, they could feel like if I'm giving you things, it's a quid pro quo. Now you have to give me something, right? So in that situation, if someone does get their coffee, you could always say, oh, my God, I wanted to take care of that for you. Is there anything else you would like to get while you're here? If that's your traditional way of doing it. But I don't think there's a one size fits all, because each person's different. Some people are more traditional. Some people more non-traditional. So I don't think there's like one size fits all, but I think you could certainly offer and see what the person says, and if they resist, okay, that's fine. You know, it doesn't sour the date per se, because that's just one aspect of the date.
And along those lines, do you split the? I would rather go hungry, Elizabeth, than have a meal with somebody I don't want to be with. And I can't believe that people actually do that, but they really do. Just to go to a restaurant,
some people do. Yeah,
really.
I mean, yes. I didn't believe it either. Because I just think that's an integrity thing. But then again, if someone is like that, that's a core value I always talk about. Like, you have to see what people's core values are. To me, core values are like integrity, honesty, you know, loyalty, someone who's like authentic and transparent with you. And so if someone is doing things like that, or you get an inclination, that's a problem, because that's who they are. And that's not going to shift in the relationship likely. So, there are people that do that, unfortunately.
Would you rather go hungry than have a meal with somebody you don't like?
Yeah, I'm like that, too. I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste resources.
My time or anything else, exactly. It's just people who win, and that is a restaurant, I guess. Somebody else texted in about, they're in a situation similar to me. I don't know if this is a person I had coffee with or not, but saying that they didn't know if it was supposed to be a date or just a casual meeting between friends. How do you go ahead.
I think the rule of thumb could be, if you invite someone out, then you probably should pay for the date, because you're inviting them out, right? But again, I think it's a conversation. You can even say, hey, how do you want me to cover this date, or do you want us to split it? You can ask the question. It's not taboo to ask the question
But how do you even know if it's a date? That's what I was saying. I didn't know if I was just there talking to a colleague, or if it was two single people on a date. I didn't
quite
know.
I guess, is there romantic interest? Are they giving you signs? Like, are they saying, hey, I want to spend time with you? Does it feel more romantically inclined? Are they trying to do things that couples would more so do? I think those are things that could indicate, you know, if it's a dating type of situation versus something that's not romantic.
Well, let's presume, Elizabeth Overstreet, that I am as dense as I actually am. Cut through all of that, and what would it be an indication of? Would it be in conversation or something, or something?
Come up in conversation, like, hey, Tommy, I'm interested in spending some time with you. You know, what do you like to do? If they're taking an interest in you, an interest in things you like, trying to do those things with you, that's probably a romantic inclination. So I think it's in the language, and I think it's in the activities, and I think it's in time. Because usually when people are spending time with someone of the opposite sex, not all the time, but a lot of time, there's a lot of time dedicated to it. Mm-hmm. There's probably some romantic interest there. And then for you, you seem very direct. I would just ask, hey, are you thinking of this as a date? You know, and if you're interested, say, I'm down for that. I'm just trying to, like, be, you know, I just want to understand. I'm seeking to understand. I think you could put it out there.
I am very direct, and that's another concern that I have about myself and for people that, and it's not all about me, but I guess you can be too direct or not.
So, again, like, even when you were asking me about, you know, how I got into what I got into, it's the approach. It's the tonality. It's the way you ask the question. I think you ask people a lot of things, but it's how you ask them the question. And my husband always says, like, if he was telling me he didn't like something, he may not come out directly and say, oh, you're going to wear that. He would probably say something like, I really like the way this looks on you, or I think this would look great on you. It's signaling to me like, ooh, maybe something's off, but it's like the approach is more open than him saying, oh, that looks terrible. So it's being a little, what's the word I'm looking for? It's being respectful
diplomatic,
in your approach.
Diplomatic.
And diplomatic in a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So would you prefer the direct approach or not?
I like the direct approach, but everyone can't handle the direct
approach. I do too.
Approach.
I like the direct approach. It's like if it's like, no, that makes you look short and dumpy. Tell me that. Don't dance around it. So I wind up going out looking short and dumpy, although that's probably going to happen anyway. Somebody texted in here, and this is a good question about they've been out on 3 dates, and no person has yet to spend any time asking about them, meaning that the other person was talking all about themselves. You can address that when we come back. We're talking to Elizabeth Overstreet, our good friend with ElizabethOverstreet.com. She counsels people on relationship and couples and, I guess, individuals, right, Elizabeth?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
On relationships, and it can be complicated out there. And also, we'll talk about, if you're married, that this also applies to you about how to maintain that relationship, because, again, sometimes people can handle direct, sometimes people can't. 504-260-1870, a fun hour after all that heavy stuff we talked about earlier. Back in a flash, WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
9:30 now. We're talking to Elizabeth Overstreet, our good friend with ElizabethOverstreet.com, and she's a relationship consultant. And somebody texted and said, Elizabeth Overstreet is a good-looking woman. Yes, she is, but it takes a lot more than that, which means they went to your website, but it takes a lot more
than that
if you're going to have a good relationship. So before we went to the break, I asked you about the text was about, what did I ask you about? I got a bunch
of texts. You were asking
me
if, so you were asking me if someone's on a date and someone keeps dominating the conversation.
Oh, yeah, they didn't ask, that was the person didn't ask anything about, the other person didn't ask anything about them. It was all about the other person. So I guess you want to, I'm talking about interrogating or interviewing somebody, but this was just the opposite. This is where the other person expressed no interest in them at all.
Yeah, so I think a couple of things could be going on. Number one, they could just be nervous, and sometimes when some people are nervous, they feel uncomfortable with silence, so they keep filling the air. So it's a good sign that they're actually talking and communicating to you. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple of things you can do to test that theory out. So you can start redirecting the conversation by adding in your experiences, your thoughts with them. Mm-hmm. You can ask them, you can share things about your hobbies or things that you enjoy doing to create a more balanced conversation. Now, if they continue to dominate, then this could be someone that's not very self-aware, mm-hmm. okay? And you can certainly share your perspective with them, but if they're not open to that, that gives you a sense that this person is not good at, you know, they may have some communication challenges, I should say. So I think there's a couple of things that could be at play. Like I said, they just might be nervous. A lot of people, when they're nervous, they just keep going on and on and on. You can certainly, again, insert yourself and redirect the conversation so that it's more of a balanced conversation. Or you can just, and you can see how they respond to that. Because sometimes people need cues on communication. Not everyone's a great communicator. In fact, very few people are really excellent communicators. Wouldn't you agree? Like, really excellent communicators.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It's something that's a challenge.
But to me, I don't think there's anything sexier, anything more attractive than somebody that is a good communicator.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, studies have proven that people who have really good communication skills can be very successful, even if they don't have the more like technical skills, because communication is the key to, right, connecting to people, driving people, making things happen. So communication is like a very sought after attribute. And it's also one of the biggest reasons relationships break down, and not so much because of the communication, but because people, A, don't feel safe to communicate. That's one component, but then the approach of how they communicate.
You know, I hear, I don't know if I should say this or not, but I hear commercials for different products, and they say this, you know, kept my wife from leaving me, or that or the other thing. And I'm thinking, well, no, probably not. I think you might have some communications problems there, because if the only thing, never mind. Let's just keep moving, Elizabeth.
You're being direct. I like it. It's
well,
good.
I'm being direct because here's the thing. If there's no communication involved and the only thing your significant other is looking for, say, is a working ratchet, you can find that anywhere, right? A working ratchet.
Exactly.
It takes more
exactly.
than a working ratchet. So there you go. My adult kid says this text is dating someone that I don't think is good for them. Should I talk with them about it? Is it none of my business? I do know as a parent that sometimes if you get involved, you could push your adult child toward them more than you are away from them. Thoughts on that?
It's a great question. As someone who went through this with my mom, but my mom knew better. That's the funny thing. Sometimes when you're close to something, it's hard to see it. Mm-hmm. So as a parent, I would be supportive as far as like talking to them and trying to get to know that person. And then I may drop, you know, clues or cues about it, but I wouldn't too heavily push on the relationship, because that's a part of your child's growth, unfortunately, that they have to go through. But if there's something you see that's dangerous with that person, absolutely, you should communicate it. Because sometimes, you know, when people are younger and they're dating their young adults, they don't have an idea around like certain things that are unhealthy or certain things, you know, they may withhold from their parents. So, for example, and this is an extreme example, but I interviewed a man. All he talks about is domestic violence, you know, within relationships. And the reason he's passionate about it is because his daughter was in a very physically abusive relationship and she didn't know any better. So if you see signs where your child is withdrawing, even as a young adult dating or even as a teenager dating, if they're withdrawing, if they are like being isolated from their friends, if they're not doing the normal things they were doing while in this relationship, absolutely get involved, because the dad said he totally missed it. And by the time he figured some of these things out, she was already gone. So I know that's an extreme example, but yes, I think as a mom or dad, observe, be curious, ask about them, spend time around them, and then offer some, you know, advice, but don't go hard on it, because I do feel sometimes, and that's what my mom did when I was dating someone, she was like, you shouldn't do this. And it made me more determined to make it work.
Yep.
So there's a balance there.
If you want to do something to push your child towards somebody, criticize them. That's all you got to do.
Yes.
And you'll they'll be married before you know it.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about online dating, because somebody texted in and said, what if Elizabeth Overstreet wasn't a good-looking woman? Because somebody else texted that in earlier. But what about, I call it curb qualifying, and they use that at car dealerships sometimes, where a salesman or a saleswoman will see somebody and say, they can't afford a car. And come to find out, the person dressed down and pays cash for the vehicle, and you qualified them at the curb without trying to see what they wanted, what they were looking for. So I know appearance is important. There has to be an attraction there. But do people sometimes focus on physical appearance a little bit too much without giving it a chance? Thoughts?
Well, yes, people absolutely are drawn to physical. That's the first thing they see. But just to make people feel a little more comfortable, there's a lot of good-looking people that struggle in relationships. So if that was the end-all, be-all, yes, they may have opportunities, but it doesn't mean they have more opportunities at success. The numbers kind of bear that out. If someone wants to look up someone on the internet, look up Don Knotts. Don Knotts was an actor who used to be on Three's Company. found out that Don Knotts was quite the player back in the day.
Really?
Absolutely.
Was
and,
he?
Yes, and you want to know why? Because he has a good sense of humor. So there are things beyond curb appeal. You don't want someone that I hate to say it, that is that shallow anyway, because life is going to change. You're going to change. You're going to grow older. Things can happen to you. You want someone that's in it for who you are. But that being said, to back it up with data, because I believe in data, they were looking at the top three or four reasons that people are choosing people now. And at the top of the list was like authenticity, like they are who they are, vulnerability, things like being able to have gone to therapy or willing to go to therapy, so do the shadow work, and someone, you know, who's consistent and loyal. Those were things that were at the top. Looks were not even, I think looks were beyond like five. So while attraction is a driver, attraction shouldn't be the leading indicator. So if someone is that shallow, I would say run the other direction, actually, because they're limited maturity-wise and what they're looking at, because they're just more to there's more to a relationship than that. I mean, it's important. I'm not saying that you got to date someone ugly. I'm not saying that. But at the same time, I'm saying
we need to date people too, Elizabeth. Okay, we can't all be pretty. We need to date people, and I speak from my ugly cohort, my ugly cohort, whatever you call them, my co-uglies, whatever you want to call them. Somebody else texted in about, well, let me take a break here. We'll pick it up when we come back, about online dating, about how do you work up the perfect profile? So we'll talk about that, if there is such a thing. What should you put in there? What should you not put in there? I know sometimes, having gone through the online dating thing, sometimes people write a novel and it's like, well, I don't think I'm going to read all of this. But sometimes people want that kind of detail. We're talking with Elizabeth Overstreet. She has ElizabethOverstreet.com. She consults people professionally on relationships. And I'm looking at the website right now. You can book a free consult. It says, discover your practical path to love. And there is... It is flowers and bunnies, Elizabeth, and unicorns and rainbows, but there is a very practical side to it as well. Is there not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I focus on, the whole picture, not just one part of the picture. I want to set people up, you know, for success in the reality of a relationship, not the fantasy of a relationship.
It's both an art and a science. More when we come back, 938, 22 till 10. Traffic now, WWO. 9:46, 14 till 10, back with Elizabeth Overstreet, ElizabethOverstreet.com. She gives professional relationship advice to single people and couples, and we always enjoy the time we spend with her because we always learn something. It's very enlightening. So when it comes to online dating profiles, Elizabeth, is there an ideal length? Does the title count when you're counting words, like you used to say in school when you're writing a composition? How much is too much? How little is too little?
I think, like, in a world where we give away a lot now,
in a world
a little where everything is kind of for public consumption, I think a little mystery is good. It drives us a little bit. Like, it gives you a chance to know that person, right? So I think it's like marketing. So if you think about marketing, what pulls you into marketing? A headline, right? Or they call it clickbait, mm-hmm. a title that makes you click on it. So I think having a clever headline is important. I think looking your best is important, like having some nice quality photos, but they shouldn't be sterile. I think these photos should be you doing things you enjoy doing, because I think it signals a couple of things. Like, these are important things to me. This is what I would like to attract, someone who's complimentary or who shares similar interests. So it gives people insights into who you are. I think also having clarity. So the dating profiles that tend to do well, ironically, or when people say what they want. So your directness would play in well here, Tommy. So, like, pretty much saying, like, I'm looking for a serious relationship, or I'm just looking to casually date. I think telling people where you are, what you want, is super important. And then I think inviting them into your space. So, like, as you write your profile, I don't think it needs to be a novel, but more like a chapter. A chapter that makes you want to continue reading the novel, right? Hmm. At the end, inviting people in, like, hey, I really look forward to talking to you about da-da-da-da, or channeling whatever it is that is you. So I think what people get caught up in dating profiles is, like, they try to look at others and mimic that, or they see someone else where it seems like they're getting a lot of hits and they're like, I need to do that. You need to do you, because I think you will attract someone who's more compatible to you when you do that. When you try to be someone else, I think that's when people get stuck in the circle of dating where they attract things they don't want to date. So better to have me less interest but more quality interest than quantity. And I know that sounds weird because in online dating world, I think what has happened is people are like, well, I don't like this, so let me go on to the next person. But what has happened is, you know, and women will relate to this. It's like going to the nail polish shop and they give you a choice of like 1,000 colors and it's so hard to choose. You're like, oh, should I go this way or I should have gone this way? But almost when your choices are narrowed down, you could be more like in tune with it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You could be more focused on it. So I think people should think of online dating not from a quantity perspective, but a quality perspective. Choosing online dating platforms that support who you are, meaning there are certain online dating profiles or online dating companies we know are more for the casual hookup. If that's your thing, okay, fine. But there's some that are more about like connecting for a more serious relationship. There's some that are more casual, like meeting up for coffee and a bagel. Like, I think there's one out there like that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's knowing you. That's the important part. Being you, but being interesting. And remembering that people like funny people. They like people who are a little self-deprecating. They like people that are humble. But they also like people that know who they are. That's very attractive to people.
So when you say coffee and a bagel, is there an ideal outing for a first date? Is a drink too much? Is a coffee better? Is lunch too much or dinner too long?
I think casual is good at first. And I think, so I know there's a thing called dry dating or something like where people don't even like do dating with liquor initially, because as we know, when we drink, we do relax and it's fun. But sometimes in that moment, we could like be more open to things that we wouldn't normally be open to if we weren't drinking with someone. So many of us have probably had situations where we went on a date and we were drinking and things happened and we looked the next day or we were like, what was that about? Mm-hmm. Like, it was a mistake. So I think sober dating could be good in the beginning. I think casual is better. Places where you really could talk to someone, like quieter environments where you could talk to them, where you could be doing an activity, because activities give you insights into people as well. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing something like golf or miniature golf or I'm trying to think of some other things, like just random pickleball or something really casual, you can learn if someone's a team player. You can learn how they communicate. Like, one activity that teaches you a lot about how people communicate is rock climbing, because you have to have really good communication if you're doing a wall climb or a rock climbing. So I think picking things that give you a sense of someone's attitude and aptitude could be good in dating as well. It doesn't have to be the formal dinner all the time. It could be something active. It could be being in a, you know, meeting up at a park for a picnic. It could be something more. It could be going to the zoo. It could be something more non-traditional.
Somebody texted this in, and I've seen it on profiles already where MAGA comes up, and we're very divided in this country politically.
Yeah,
some people are.
Yeah.
and they draw lines between this or that. Should that be part of a profile or not? If you're looking to exclude people or include people?
Well, if that's who you are, show it. Because the other thing that came up when they polled people around dating was people are choosing people that are more in the same religion, same political affiliation, same approach around, like, traditions. So, like, I think showing who you are is good because the person can't say, hey, you didn't show me this part of you. And you may attract someone who is on the same same playing field bandwidth, or I'm trying to think of the word, the same, has the same area interest, right, as you do. So
same outlook.
Indirect, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same outlook.
And then somebody else texted in and said they were tired of going round and round with the emails or whatever you do on dating apps, and they tried to put their phone number with a match, and then three times they tried it, it didn't work. Is that a no-no to do that, to give somebody their phone number?
It just depends. I think that, again, with online dating, because, look, let's face it, when you're dating someone in real life, and what I categorize as real life, someone you meet through someone or someone you meet in public, you still don't know a lot about them, right? Online dating adds another layer of where people could be really deceptive sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. So I think you need to lean into being a little more conservative. Like I said, using your common sense, like looking them up online to see if maybe there's a criminal history or things of that nature, because there are people out there who don't always have the best intentions. So before you give your number away, because I do think communication is important when you're on the online dating platform, to do it sooner rather than later. But at the same time, I think there is, like, I don't think you need to rush into it. I think you need to vet them out a little bit more.
I have a boss that loves Maya Angelou's quote, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And I think that's a good way to wrap this up.
Yes, for sure.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, Elizabeth. A pleasure as always. It's ElizabethOverstreet.com. She can help you. Thank you so much. Talk to you again soon.
Questions. Okay, bye-bye.
You got it. 9:54, 6 till 10. We'll find out what Noel's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.